James and finding many wonderful things. And God, it's something that it doesn't deny what the others say. And people say, well, you got to work to go to heaven. Well, works are caused by people believing and trusting in the Lord. And if we have some religion that doesn't affect us something about doing the will of God, that's kind of scary. I don't like that. But I'm glad to see you folk here tonight, and got to get a little concerned, and now it's looking pretty good. We need a few more people over here, but glad to see the ones came in here just a few minutes ago. And think you were here a few weeks ago. I didn't quite recognize him. He got all dressed up here, but glad to see you folk. And I want you to look at James here in the 4th chapter of the book of James. And then when I got finished with reading the book of James, I went back to the first part. So we might rehash some of the things, and I don't want to bore you with it, but it's a blessing to me, and I believe that we find that God wants to answer prayer. He wants us to walk with Him, that He can answer prayer, and so live that He can bless us. We say, Lord, bless us, and so forth, and we tell God to do some things He tells us to do. We say, God, humble us. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then we ask God to make us faithful, or make us this and that and the other. Well, God gives us a lot of information that we can be benefited, and we can benefit by following Him. And so one of the thoughts I wanted to look at tonight was the problems that are identified in the book of James chapter 4. The problems. Now, if you ask people what we need, you will get varied answers. If you would ask people what would be the problem solver in America, they would give so many different answers. But you do not hear anyone giving the Bible reason why. And I've had this week several people, every time you start talking about America and what's happening, they say, well, why did God do this? They will say, God, why did God allow this? I don't know. And I don't pretend to know, but I do know one thing, that God has a reason for everything that He does. And the Bible says here in the book of James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, let's read that. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fighters among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? So we find out basically it starts from man. It's not the other person. As Adam said, the woman you gave me. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And the serpent did not make an excuse. He knew what he had done. And Satan knows what he's doing. And he didn't make no apologies. He didn't say, I'm blaming them. I did it. And the preacher said, when he had a small, said he had a twin brother. And his mother couldn't tell them apart. Most mothers can tell their children apart. But he said, his mother made a chocolate cake. And his brother was there. And had cake all on, chocolate on his face and all. And his mother said, who got in this cake? I didn't. And said one day he got a whipping for what the other fellow had done. Now he said it was his brother's fault. Well, that's about the way people are. But we look at this. The Bible says they war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot but obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Well, it's a simple thing. He said you have not because you ask not. Now, Mary Lee and I were at a church, a good church the other day, at the fellowship meeting. And this beautiful young girl, like some of you, all of you beautiful young girls, anybody young, beautiful. And so I looked at her and I said, do you have a boyfriend? And she said, no. I said, praise the Lord for that. I said, I have someone in my family. I said, I'm looking for someone that we can help find the right person. And so I said, how old are you? And she told me. And so, I mean, people said, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, I was out visiting, and I asked this lady, I said, are you planning on remarrying? She said, well, no, I'm not really thinking about it. And I didn't go after, it was several years after her husband had died. And I said, well, if somebody wants a good Christian woman. And she said, well, I said, the only requirement that they said they needed was for the woman to be a good Christian woman. Well, everybody qualifies for that. If you don't believe it, ask them. I'm a good one. And so what I did, I told her, I said, they're looking for a good Christian wife. And the only requirement they said they needed, besides that, was you need to be able to drive. The man has diabetes, and he said he's losing his eyesight, and he needs to get someone that can drive him around to take him. She said, I can't drive. I said, well, I'll scratch you off the list. I said, you don't qualify because you cannot drive. And so I told another man that, and he said, well, I'd like to find a wife. The way his wife had died. He said, I'd like to have a good Christian woman. And I said, well, the one I found says she can't drive. He said, I don't care. And they married right here in Beacon Baptist Church. Well, I said, I'm keeping my mouth shut from now on. I'm not trying to be a Romeo or Juliet or anything else, but I will say this, that you look at what people are, and I say this, and every one of you young people is not married, you ought to be praying for God to give you the right husband or the right wife. And when I saw, and I was looking, and I said, this is before I met my wife, to be, I had an idea of who I wanted to, I said, I want somebody that has a good suntan. I don't know why, because we lived on the farm, and I knew everybody had to have a suntan in order to be right with God. And another thing, I want to have someone with black hair. Well, you can make it any color you want this day. And then I said, I want somebody. And so when I saw Mary Lee, I saw her. I forgot about the black hair. I forgot about everything I had said I wanted. And so she fit the bill. She was light-skinned. She wasn't dark. I mean, handsome. She wasn't dark. But she had kind of, well, can I tell them what color your hair? It was kind of reddish. It was pretty. It was a beautiful color. But I said, at least she was in church, and I did not want anybody that wasn't in church. I wanted that to be one of the requirements. And so I'm saying here, God gave me, and I have more than I ever dreamed would be possible. And I'm saying here, you cannot find anybody that's worth marrying. I think they shoot. But you cannot find anybody that's worth marrying that's not in church. You cannot find anybody that you need that's not right with God. You cannot find anyone, I don't care whether it's boy, girl, man, whether they're smart or whatever, they need Jesus Christ. And so we find here that we have people that are trying to find the right thing in the wrong way and going in the wrong places to find it. And when Abraham wanted to get a bride for his son, he did not want anybody from around. He said, I want them to go. And that person had to go by faith. He said, he went, and they said, you're going to have to believe me, trust me, but I have something waiting for you, and you don't know how rich the man is that I want to take you to. And I'm glad I did not know all the twists and turns in life, and you don't either. But I do know one thing. People continually fight and go against God's will and determine that they're going to have their way, and then they come along and God has to help them get out of the mess they would not have gotten in if they would have listened to Him to start with. And you look at all of these things. The Bible said you fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now I'll tell you something else. If you find the one for God that God wants you to have, don't worry about what everybody else says. Now, my mother said, I want to ask you something. Why do you have to go all the way to Union when you live here for me? Why do you have to go 45 miles to find somebody? I said, the people in Pomeria know me. And my family said, I don't believe, but I'll tell you what, before they passed away, they were convinced that Mary Lee was the sweetest, most considerate, and I'm amazed how God blessed, and I'm amazed at the children that God has given. I'm amazed at what God has done in our lives because we said, I want God's will to be done. And God has transformed and turned things around. And if you want the happiness of God and you want the glory of God, you better follow Him. And so the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The Bible says another thing, you cannot be a friend of the world. Or you cannot have a friendship. Now, I love, and I talk to people, and I went up here to the gas station a while ago. They said, I went to use my debit card, and I swiped it, and it said, swipe it again. I swiped it a second time, and I swiped it a third time, and it said, go inside and check with the cashier. I said, I'm not going in and check with no cashier. I go to another gas station. And I went up here to Kangaroo. I hopped up there, and the man was standing there, and talked to him about the Lord. He said, I want to thank you for giving me this. So it might have been, but I knew three swipes and I'd be out. You can't just keep on swiping if it ain't going to work. But I will say this, that I went up here and I was able to, and you can do the same thing, but what I am saying is this, don't have friendship with the world. Don't go out and say, oh, we're going partying. And this woman said that she told her husband, said, I'm a Christian and I cannot go to this drinking parties. I got saved. Well, he kept begging and pleading. And finally, he told her that if you will go with me one more time to that party, to this party, I'll get saved. All he was doing was trying to test her. And said that she said, okay, honey, if you'll get saved, then I'll go with you to one more party. And said they got to the door ready to go. And he broke down and started crying. He said, I don't have any confidence in your religion. Said, I was testing you and I wondered if you would stand. And the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, the wine, and all of that stuff. And I want to tell you something. The devil will test and try every individual. When you make friends and friendships in this world, they do not honor God. And when people despise God and say, you go with me, don't be a friend. Don't make friends with those kind of people. Be a friend as far as helping them, but you cannot be what you ought to be when you follow them. And they are happy to take you down. They are happy for you to compromise. And we find here the adulterers and adulteresses and all of this stuff. The Bible said, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. And so I want to be a friend of God. When I pray, I want God to answer my prayer. When I say, God, I want you to help me. And when people pray, they better pray in faith and believe in God. And the Bible says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now, I heard a preacher preach on this, and I could not understand what he was saying. I'm going to let the Bible just speak, and the Bible seems to tell me that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth. It's always going in the wrong direction, the Spirit that lives in us. Now, God's Spirit, now someone says, God took away all my problems. No, He didn't. You have as many problems sometimes as a Christian as you would have, but I do know it's a lot of difference when you have Jesus Christ in your heart and you have God in your life. And so we find that it dwelleth in us. Lust is to envy. And so people, you cannot, and somebody wrote me a letter the other day and said, I want to know that I have a degree in counseling, and they were talking about the things they work with. And one of the things they said that they could help with, they said, we can help with sex addiction. Now, I don't really know what that means. It's sort of like telling a dog don't bark. It's also telling a rat that don't like cheese. You can't help some of the things. You cannot help some of the thoughts that go through your mind. And don't go planning around it and say all of this. And the little boy got a fishing pole and a can of worms on a Sunday and said he's walking down the road and somebody said, you're not supposed to go fishing on Sunday. Well, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not fish on Sunday, but I think the Bible says that we'd honor God. But the preacher saw him and said, son, where are you going? You going fishing? He said, no. He said, I'm just going down there. And he said, what you got that fishing pole for and that can of worms? He said, well, in case I get tempted, I'm ready. And that's about the way we do. We prepare to do something wrong. It is not good for us to put ourselves in a position where we can be so easily tempted. And when you look at people and they say, my, I tell you what, I'm going to be a good example. The best example you can be is to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And we find that, and somebody said, I'm strong. You're not as strong as you thought you were because the flesh is in you, the lust, the envy, and it'll take you down. Amen. And David, look in the Bible, and the Bible said, David said, Bathsheba, mine. And I tell you what, it takes a lot of gut for somebody to come along and say, bring her over here. I mean, that ain't the way you do it. You let them come on their own, but I say that's not good even that way. But then they look at this, try to cover all that stuff. People say, I'm strong. I want to tell you something. The flesh is also strong. And the flesh will not give up. And the Bible said it lusteth to envy. You turn people loose in the things of the world, you'll see what they are. Turn the look at the body and how people are going after the things of the world. But praise God, I'm glad. And when Mary Lee and I, before we got married, we were talking about children and so forth. And said, when we get married, we want to have children. When we get married, boy, we're going to do this. When we get married, when we got married, we could spend $11 and eat all week. But that was because we didn't eat a whole lot. We were in love for the first couple of weeks. But we did find something that you look at this. $11. And I did not know you're supposed to save up and buy a refrigerator, brand new one. Well, I said, I'll get an old Weston house and paid $3, I think, $3 a week until I got it paid for. And I got some of those things and paying $10 a week for rent and those things. But I found out later, you're supposed to take marriage counseling. You're supposed to do this. And you're supposed to save up $1,000 or $5,000. And you wait till you get till you can afford children. You never will afford them then. You never will have any children if you wait until you can afford them. And children came along. And they still, glory to God, they still going. And they still a wonderful blessing. And so I said, well, they're going to eat. And they did. And I said, I'm going to do it this way. And I went down to the store and buying all this milk. And I said, I'm going to put some powder. I'm going to get some powdered milk. And I'm going to fix it up. I tell you what, I ain't paying I'm not paying $1.50 for a gallon of milk. And I did this and all of that. And then Lewis went to drink it. He said, this don't taste right. So what I did, I went and got another job. And then the girls came along and all this stuff. And then I got the third job. But nobody ever had to come and say, you're going to have to pay child support. I tell you what, I'm saying here today that it's a big world and people can do the things that would honor and glorify God. And now look at it. When I need something, I call them. It pays. Treat them good. Spank them if you need to, but I'm saying here, it pays. But we find the Bible says, do you think that the Scripture saith in you, the Spirit there is there, and it will, and this man said, we can tell you and get the, he said, if you have anybody in your church, and I don't, and I, like I say, I don't know how they, what they said, that has sex addiction. Said, I can help them. I said, I don't need you. And I said, you cannot destroy, and you cannot overlook what people are. You have to deal with them. And God knows how to do something for the glory of God. But we do know that we have problems in many areas. But thank God, look at the answer to what God gives us. So, look at verse 6. I like this. Is it too hot in here? To put this on 7 if you want to. I had it, Tommy, this morning. Somebody said they were cold, and some said they were hot, and some said they this. So get it cold, and they put the coat on up close, and all the rest of it. But you look at this. I like, and somebody said, if you don't sweat, you're not preaching. So I've been trying to leave it up hot enough so I could sweat. And so somebody think I'm preaching. But I want you to notice in verse 6 of chapter 4, the Bible says, but he giveth. Now I like this. He giveth more grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad. And talking about the God's mercy and God's grace. The Bible said, he giveth more grace. Hallelujah. I'm glad whatever the problems we face are in our lives, He giveth more grace. And I want to ask you tonight, does anybody here have a problem that you can solve by yourself? But just go ahead and solve it. Don't call on God. But if you have something that's impossible to solve, and I tell you what, I've been talking to Miss Crosby and some of these folks. She thinks she's got something impossible to solve. And she may have. And you may have an impossible situation. You may have something you cannot deal with. You may have prayed. But I will say this. Glory to God. He giveth more grace. Hallelujah. Wherefore He said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And this is what happened. The preacher, and I said this morning, when he said, I wrote a bad check, I said, that's bad for a preacher to write a bad check. But he said, let me tell you the rest of the story. He said, I knew what I needed, and the man had what I needed, and I was going to Tennessee to preach, but I got back home to North Carolina and said, when I got to there, he said, I found that God had given me exactly the amount of money that I needed to pay that. He said, I rushed down to the bank, put the money in there before the check got back. Glory to God. I'm glad He giveth and He giveth and He giveth. And you woke up this morning praising God because He let you live and let you breathe. And somebody told me yesterday, said, I'm scared. I don't know how. And said, I just about left here last night. I just about died. But glory to God, I'm glad He giveth more grace. They came back and said, preacher, would you come in here and pray for me? And I want you to read the Bible. Hallelujah. They've never said, come read the Bible. They've never said, I told them I'm going to pray. And I told them what I would do. But I will say this, glory to God. They said, I want you to come back and pray and read the Bible. And I prayed and I told them how to be saved. And I said, you must be born again. And if you think this is rough today, what's it going to be when you stand before God and you don't have anything to show for your salvation and look at life and say, I didn't think I would make it. But glory to God, you look back. Hallelujah. Every one of you is going to make it. Somebody asked me the other day, said, preacher, how much longer do I have to go through what I'm facing? I said, how old are you? I said, glory to God, we're near in the home shore. Some of the young ones may be closer to the home shore than the old folk. But I know, and I look at this, and I added up the other day, and you folk can do this. And I looked in the paper, and I just added down a few of the people, the death and the ages, and every one of them, the average was less than 79. But I know one thing, that God's grace, He giveth more grace. And praise God, I'm glad He'll give grace for you and for your problem and whatever you face. And I'm glad tonight that we can rejoice in Him because He giveth more grace. Look at the first part. He said, you got wars and fightings and all the things of this world and all the pressure of sin and all the pressure of hell upon us. But glory to God, I'm glad there's something. God said He giveth more grace. Then we find here, the Bible said God resisteth the proud. So how proud are we? I hear someone say, I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm not proud to be a Christian. I'm thankful to be one. I'm proud to be an American. No, I'm thankful to be an American. Of all the places that I could have been born, you could have been born in one of these countries where they don't even have a Bible. And we don't even thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad, hallelujah, I thank God for His Word, hallelujah, that's forever settled in heaven. And I'm glad we have something to rejoice in and something to shout about and something to say, hallelujah. And say, I don't feel like shouting. You just start shouting and praising God a little bit. You'll find something in your heart and life that you say, hallelujah, I didn't know I felt so good. Amen. And Brother Rosario, I thank God for him. And when I look at the countenance of people, I'm glad. I like to look straight in the face of somebody unless they owe me money. But you look at this. I'm glad that God giveth grace. I'm glad the Bible said He resisteth the proud. And these folks said, and they write me a letter. And they write you letters, the politicians. And they will write a letter back to themselves. And they will say, the most honorable. And I'm tempted sometimes to tell them what they really are. I'm going to put this in front of that. Dishonorable. anybody lives the life they live, and the cocktail parties and the drinking and the sin of this world, and then they know how to solve your problem. Hallelujah. I'm glad we have a God that loves us, cares for us. And I'm glad here the Bible said He resisteth the proud. He resisteth the proud. Somebody said, I'm the most honorable. And then they say, and they write it back to themselves, and they say, the most honorable, and they say, I agree with you, and you're doing a tremendous job, and they brag on themselves, and go out and name streets after themselves, and rivers after themselves, and buildings after themselves, and then have children out of wedlock, and all this stuff. Oh, honor me, I'm honorable. Glory to God, I'm glad, hallelujah, down at the cross where my Savior died. I'm glad He died for sinners, and I'm glad He gave us something to shout about, something to look forward to, and I say, hallelujah, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Amen. And the Bible says, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hallelujah. He said He resisteth the proud. And don't tell God how great you are. Charles Spurgeon said, when I say, God, I love you, said, I want Him to say, I know it. And when I read today in the book Lewis gave me about the hero of the Titanic, I'm telling you the truth. When I was reading this book, I wonder if I've really been doing any praying. It humbles me to know that John Harper, what he did, and how he prayed and said he would pray all night, but said he had the glory of God in his soul, and people got saved, and he went down on the Titanic, and he said that he was telling people about Jesus, and they were in the water floating around. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Tell Gideon, and said people got saved. They went down shouting, praising God, but his body's not down at the bottom. Hallelujah. God gave grace, and God gave glory, and God gave victory because of God's amazing grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. He giveth more grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That'll solve a lot of problems. You got problems? You just think you have problems. But the Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You'll find people, instead of resisting the devil, they prepare to do what they want to do. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the young man in the twilight of the day, he's walking along, he sees a beautiful woman, he's deceived, he's thinking that she, the Bible said her door, her gate, it leads to hell. Look at the beauty. And this girl said she won the Miss USA or whatever and said, I want to do this, I want to do that. I tell you what, somebody came and they wanted, several years ago, they said, Mr. Caldwell said, I notice you have some beautiful daughters. And said, we've got a contest going, a beauty contest. I said, yeah, they'd win it. I know. I'd vote for them. But I said, I wouldn't put their name in there. I would not feel honored for them to be parading around in a little bikini and telling somebody in prison around like that. I said, glory to God, I want them to live for Jesus Christ and serve God and walk with Him. I don't care. They said, well, you get recognition. I said, glory to God, I want to be recognized in heaven where it really matters. I'm not happy when somebody says, I want to do this and twist and turn in this old world. I'm glad God has something, hallelujah, a lot better than we could ever imagine in our heart and lives. And so I said, if they would have gotten in there, I'd have probably beat them up. Well, they wouldn't want to show the bruise mark. No, I wouldn't. But I will say this. I thank God for beauty. But I'll say this, is not for lust and it's not to try to get the satisfaction of faith. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You will be happier tomorrow if you did right. You think about these. How many people tomorrow morning are going to be in a bad way because they caroused and they committed adultery and sin over the weekend, drinking and partying? I saw a man down here the other day and he was got a case of beer. And I asked him, I said, are you planning on having a party? I asked quite a few of them that. And so I even asked him the other day, a good while back, they said they bought cigarettes and they bought beer. And I just asked the man, I said, are you going to have a party? He said, yeah, if I get home, I'll have a party. I said, well, you want to really have a party? Can I join you? Let's have a real party. He said, what kind of party are you talking about? I said, get saved. And I said, I'm going to give you something. This is up in Spartanburg. I said, I'm going to give you something that you can look at. And I said, don't read it when you're drunk. I said, read it when you're sober. And I said, trust Jesus Christ, receive Him. And you look at people, and they told me they're going to have a good time. No, you're not going to have a good time. You're going to have a hangover and trying to get rid of the things that you committed. And the Bible said, resist the devil, submit yourselves to God, walk with Jesus Christ. You're not going to lose going that direction. Then they were down here and they had the beer and the cigarettes and the woman, they rung up the beer and all this stuff. And I asked him about what he was doing. And he said that he was, I said, by the way, how much did all this cost? He said, the lady asked me, said, do you want some? I said, well, I want to find out what it cost first. And she said, the carton of cigarettes, boy, it was outrageous. My goodness. Okay. I said, how about the beer? She said, well, the suitcase. And she told me what that cost. And I added it up. I think it was $32. She said, do you want that? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm praising God for the money I'm saving. And I don't fit in sometimes. The man said he was waiting in line up there to buy the lottery ticket. I said, what would you do if you won? He said, I'd have me a good time. I said, would you tell anybody? Would you share with anybody? He said, no, sir. He said, I'll win it. I'm going to keep it all to myself. I said, you must be a Baptist. I said, they have salvation. They have Jesus Christ. And they won't tell anybody. They stand in line. They won't let anybody know. They won't. I said, glory to God. I said, I'm glad I have something worth telling. Of course, one of them followed me out of the store. And you might not believe this, but you better, because I'm telling the truth. I preached on a Sunday night about witches. The Bible said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And we went on vacation. And a man came along and he said, I offered him a tract. He said, I'm Wiccan. I said, well, praise God, if you know you're wicked, you can get saved. He said, I didn't say I was wicked. I said, I'm a Wiccan. I said, you're a witch? He said, yes. I said, my goodness, I preached about that last night. I said, God said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. And I never have met a one real live witch that I knew of. And he said, if they said kill them, that you got it out of the King James Bible. I said, no, I didn't get it out of the Bible. It's still in there. And I started out of the store. Mary Lee saw him coming after me. And Mary Lee said, what in the world going on? I didn't run from him. I said, this fellow's a witch. But I said, I don't know whether he can get saved or not. God said, kill him. But I'm saying this. It's a mixed up world. They think they can go and do all this stuff, but the Bible says, submit yourselves unto God. If people get in that kind of mess, they didn't get it following God. They didn't get it following the things of the world. They got it following the things of the world. The Bible said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I like this verse 8. The Bible said, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh. Now, when you're with someone you love, you don't want to leave them. Now, if you want to be alone, sometimes it may not be love. It might be something else. You may have ulterior motives. You may find that people, when they want to be so nice to the little boys and the little girls, there's a lot of molestation, and I'm not going to go into all of those things, but I will say a lot of trouble is coming from that. But we find that when people draw nigh to God, they want to get away from the things that will hurt and harm and destroy and defeat and depress them. And so the Bible said, draw nigh to God. And you have someone you love, you don't want to leave them. You don't want to be away from them. Now, you may not want to be with them 24/7. Give them some breathing room and let them develop. And I'm thankful when my wife can leave with the children or leave with somebody and the Lewis and Sammy Allen was out there a while back, and I think Mary Lee said they went down to down here. They went to a restaurant, and Mary Lee walked in there with Lewis, and Sammy knew Mary Lee, but he didn't know Lewis. Well, I took my daughter, the oldest daughter, over here to get her check on a job, and a fellow walked up to me, and he knew me, but he didn't know my daughter. But I ain't gonna say this is my daughter. Don't you know my daughter? But anyway, I'm saying this: we look at when people want to do something wrong, they want to draw nigh to the world, they want to draw nigh to sin. But the Bible said, draw nigh to God. And Dr. Howell, well, I may not say what he said, but anyway, the Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, here's something we don't like. The Bible said, be afflicted. We want a happy-go-lucky type religion, but the Bible says, be afflicted. And people need to be afflicted. And when we see what we've done to Jesus and what Jesus had done for us, we all grieve our hearts. When we realize how much God loved us and how much He gave for us, somebody said, what's the most valuable thing in the church? Well, I'll tell you what, the church is very valuable because Jesus paid His blood, gave His life's blood for your sin, and I'm glad He died for our sins, and I'm glad we have something that God is pleased with, and the Bible said, be afflicted and mourn. We need joy in our lives. Thank God for the grace of God. But look at this. The Bible said, and mourn. A lot of people are rejoicing today. And they said that they are going to have a big bang this coming Friday, I think. The football teams. They're going to have a big bang, a big blast. And drinking and all the things that are going on. But the Bible says here, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves under in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. This is what someone told one of the preachers the other day. He said, my gift is critiquing preachers. My gift is to tell what they do wrong. My gift is, well, everybody must have that gift. You look at what people are. The Bible says here, you are a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? If you would really think about this, we would find that every one of us have enough to condemn even after you got saved. I will say this, that there is enough sin in this congregation on both sides that would sink you spiritually if it's unconfessed and unforsaken. Glory to God. I'm glad we can confess. Now, when we get right, or we want to do right, God will. We can confess our sins. And the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. I am amazed at the stupidity that I've had in my own life. I am amazed at what directions that I wanted to go. And I thank God for what He's given me. But I'm also glad for the things He did not give me. And if He would have given me what I would have wanted at the particular time, I would be destroyed completely today. But glory to God, I'm glad. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into a city, such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Hallelujah. Our life is in Christ. Well, yesterday they told me, if you would like to know what life is, let me know and you can, you can lock on to whatever they have on the internet. They said, we will tell you what life is. Well, glory to God, I went to the Bible and I found out where life comes from. The Bible said, in Christ we live and move and have our being. I'm glad Jesus Christ is my life. And the Bible says here, It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice and your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So where do the problems come from? They come from within. What's the remedy? He giveth more grace. He giveth grace to the humble. The Bible says, submit yourselves before God. The Bible said, resist the devil. The Bible said, draw nigh to God. The Bible said, cleanse your hands. The Bible said, be afflicted, mourn, weep, laughter, turn to mourning, joy to heaviness. The Bible says, humble yourself, he will lift you up. The Bible says, speak not evil in verse 11. Well, now we go back to the first part of James. And we find the starting of all this, but that's enough for tonight. If we would put some of these things into practice, find something, read these verses, and take them to heart, and submit to God, yield to God, obey God, and let God tell us what to do, when to do. Now, somebody told me, and I was a little facetious, I'm making fun of them a little bit, they told me that I was hopeless because I didn't believe you had to be baptized. I said, well, I was baptized, but they said, we don't do anything. This is what they told me. They said, we don't do anything unless God tells us to do it. And I just said, well, what did you have for breakfast today? Did you have cornflakes? Did God tell you? And they seem to think that they had to get everything. I don't think God cares whether you eat cornbread or cornflakes. I don't think He cares whether you drink skim milk or I don't think that's in the equation. But I do know God gives us enough evidence. The Bible said drunkards. He talks about drunkards, warns about that, adultery. He warns about the sins of the flesh. He warns about the thing. And man is naturally, the Bible said the heart is deceitful, and you better not trust your heart. A man said he didn't believe in hell. Said, I got a conscience. I said, you better. And somebody said, let your conscience be your guide. You better let the Bible be your guide. And get advice from someone. And I will say this, that people many times will ignore exactly what God says and devise their own way. And they'll set up their own God. And when I told someone this week, I said, if we can find an answer in God's Word, we better stick with that. If we find out what God wants, you better say, God, I am going to obey you. You won't regret that. You cannot beat that. And when God blesses, hallelujah, you get closer to Him, you get filled, and you enjoy His presence. And so you want to be close to somebody you love, the Bible said, draw nigh to God. You want a friend that will stick with you when everybody else forsakes you? Come to Jesus. You want somebody that knows all about you and still loves you? Come to Jesus. He's the one. Amen. He knew you. He knows what you are. He knows what you're going to be tomorrow. The Bible said He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what tomorrow will be. I do not know what I'll be thinking tomorrow. I don't even know that I'll be alive tomorrow. You don't know either. The Bible said your life is a vapor. It's in God's hand. But the only way I would know what I'm going to think, if I would write it down, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, if I'm alive, this is what I'm going to be thinking. But I'm saying, we don't know. But God says, He knows what we'll even be thinking. He knows our thoughts are far off. He knew. He looked way back yonder. He said, in 2014, I know what's going to be at Beacon Baptist Church. I know what's going to be at Gant Street Baptist Church. I know what's going to be at Grace Baptist Church. I know what's going to be happening in California and in Columbia, South Carolina. I know where you're going to be. Brother Rosario did not dream he'd be in Beacon Baptist Church a year ago. He did not think he'd be here. I didn't either. And I think about the people that we met. I think about the children, how God has brought families together. And then sometimes they go in different directions. Missionaries in Brazil, South America, in the Philippines. And all of the places where God has led people, I'm glad, hallelujah, we can say God does all things well. You can trust Him. Any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. If you want to know who to marry, ask God. If you want to know who not to marry, ask me, I'll tell you. I told my children, I said, I cannot tell you who to marry, but I can probably tell you who not to marry. And I'm just saying that God knows what we need. And thank God for being able to work and do His work and serve Him. You won't regret it. And isn't it wonderful that God puts up with us and blesses us in spite of what we are, where we've been, what we want to do, what we should have done, what we shouldn't have done. But may God help us to put some of these things together in our own lives. And whatever God has given you, the Bible said He gave a helpmeet. And wives, that's good to have a husband that's a helpmeet. That's good to have a wife that's a helpmeet. And that's good to have children that's a helpmeet. What a blessing children are. And what good things we have because God brought us together. Don't let the devil tear it apart. Let us pray. Father, I'm thankful for every individual that's here and everyone that's been through the doors of this church. And Lord, maybe some may come back, I don't know, and some here may leave. But I'm glad, thank God, that You are still a wonderful God. Amen. Punishment, judgment, the things of heaven, the things of the world, Lord, may we look at it in the light of eternity and in the light of Your Word. Help us to be faithful, fruitful, fervent in the same things of God. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll stand and sing Amazing Grace, page 3, if you need a book.